1 Samuel. My old tattered, worn out Bible that I preach with every Sunday disappeared Thursday night. And so I'm trying to break in a new one this morning. Have you ever do that? You know, it's kind of, you know, you get used to something. And I get so used to a Bible, I know where the scripture's at on the page, where it's at, you know, what side it's on. Anyway, so this is all new today. It's old, but it's new. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, take joy today. I do not have my notebook. I got a post-it note for my notes. That actually doesn't mean anything. That's all I used to use, post-it notes. And the first day I brought a notebook with me to the pulpit, had a notebook with me. Sister Pam Snowden said, "Oh Lord, help us." She said, "You can get an hour out of a post-it note, and you got a notebook with you today." First Samuel chapter 17, verse 48. So it was, last week we talked about that David facing, and talked about his facing giants. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. It says, so it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone. Now remember, last week we was talking about many times things in our life seem to be ominous, seem to be huge, insurmountable. Goliath was a big person. He wasn't just tall. We talk about how tall he was. He wasn't just tall, he was big. It says that he wore a mail, you know, armor of mail. It's like woven metal. And just that armor of mail weighed 125 pounds. That's not counting all the other armor. So can you imagine running around with an extra 125 pounds on you? This last year, I've gained about 30, and I don't like it. Come on, somebody. Oh, y'all just got all embarrassed. Oh, my. I can't imagine running around with 125 pounds of chainmail on me as armor. So this guy was not just tall, he was big. Just the head of his spear weighed 16 pounds. The whole thing weighed 33 pounds. Can you imagine trying to throw a 33-pound spear? That would take a lot. So the armies of God allowed Goliath to focus the whole army and all of their power and all of their equipment. Goliath somehow got them to focus on his size. One man. And because of that, every time he stepped forward, King Saul, who was taller than anybody else, he was probably about 6'9". King Saul was a big person himself. He wouldn't even leave his tent. And when Goliath stepped forward, the armies of Israel who were under covenant with God, who were blessed of God, and had a king who was anointed to defeat the Philistines, would run and hide behind rocks because one man was able to get them to look at his size and be afraid. Come on, somebody. They wasn't even looking at the rest of the armies of Philistines. They were afraid of this one man. We talked last Sunday about letting the devil set the engagements of war in your life. Don't do it. No, don't do it. Always, always let Holy Spirit surprise the devil by how he works through you. Because the devil will say, well, this is how it has to be. And if we're not careful, that's exactly what we do. We sit ourselves in array in the engagement the devil has set for us, and it totally confuses him when we allow Holy Spirit just to change it all up and we respond in a very unorthodox way. Amen. My older brother used to tell, after we got older, he said, I hated to fight with Tim because he was so unorthodox. My older brother was Bruce Lee. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, he was Mr. Kung Fu, Karate Kid. He was all into the martial arts and everything. And every time he would try that on me, I never read the script of the choreography. I always came off with something that he did not expect. He ran up behind me one day. He was upset. He ran up behind me, grabbed me around the neck, put his knee in my back, and had me bent backward just like that. I don't know why, but to me, I thought, what a perfect catapult. And so he had me bent over backwards, and I just used everything inside of me, and I went forward like that. And without using my hand, without touching him, I threw him through the air. And he landed on his back and just slid on his back to a stop. And that's the day he birthed the term. You are so unorthodox. My son come home when he got bigger, which was about 12. Everybody asked me how my son's got so much bigger than me. I said, well, it's all the chicken I fed him. Got them growth hormones in it. They eat way too much chicken. But they all got big. You know, both of them got big. Well, my oldest son come in, and he was bigger than me. And he come in, and he said, Dad, I've got a headlock you can't get out of. I said, son, it doesn't exist. And about that time, he jumped on me, grabbed me around the neck, bent me over, and at that very moment, I bit him in his ribs as hard as I could bite him. I mean, I tried to take a chunk out of him. He screamed like a scared little girl and jumped back and said, you bit me. I said, I got out. By the way, some young guys, always remember, if you challenge an old man, he's going to hurt you as fast as possible because he can't last very long. See, the devil comes to you the same way, and he brings problems and stress, and he reveals these problems and tries to give you the category that you have to fit in. He tries to tell you, okay, now you're the victim here, so you have to be the victim in this situation. And how confusing it is for the devil whenever you stand up and say, I've never been a victim to anybody since I was born again. And I'm certainly not one now. Amen. He'll try to beat you down. He'll try to get you to feel like you've been mistreated. You just stand up and say, I am a child of the living God, and I am victorious regardless of what kind of thing you're trying to pull on me. I am victorious. Amen. The devil might have you down and you got you, locked up, and you need to make him realize one thing. He has to let go sometime. And when he does, it's not going to be pretty. Amen. Come on, somebody. We have to learn how to fight as children of God, not subjects of the devil. We have to learn how to fight as, Sister Carolyn last Tuesday night made some declarations that just set me on fire. And I was having a hard time. She was sitting there preaching, prophesying, going to town. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, just calm down. She was getting me fired up. I was ready to turn that round table, amen, into a frisbee and throw it at the devil, because she said if you want to launch effective spiritual warfare, you need to pray as it is finished. It is finished. When we're praying for our lost loved ones, we need to pray they are saved. When we're praying about healing, that we are healed. We need to have the attitude, it is finished. See, David did not go against Goliath hoping it would work out. He took off running toward him because he saw Goliath down already and destroyed because he did not have covenant with God. Amen. See, Saul was anointed to destroy the Philistines. Well, Saul sinned. Saul backslid. Saul, in his insecurity, could not wait on God, could not serve God. He had to constantly try to prove to the people that he was qualified to be king. When you know who you are in God, you don't have to constantly try to prove to anybody who you are. Right. Amen. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm going to have to leave that one. I'm trying to shoot all the rabbits today and not chase them. Run down them rabbit trails. If I take off somewhere else, somebody shoot that thing. Amen. I got to get back on this. God has not called us to try to be victorious. He has given us the victory. Amen. He's not saying, I'm gonna send you out there and I hope you make it. If you don't, you'll go to heaven one day. No, he sent us out there and said, all authority in heaven and earth is mine, and I send you in my name. In other words, I send you under my authority and under my power, and in my gifts, I send you not by yourself. I send you with all that I am. Isn't it amazing that he sent the disciples out? Brother George got to preaching this the other night. I think it's Tuesday night. He's about ready to come up and preach himself. And he said, isn't it amazing that Jesus sent the disciples out and then said what the names of the apostles were? He sent the disciples out. It didn't mean he sent the apostles out. I'm preaching it, Brother George. He sent the disciples out and gave them authority. simply because he told them they had authority. And they went out and come back rejoicing and said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. I mean, they were excited. They went out. They saw the stuff. Amen. How many's ready to see the stuff? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm ready to see the stuff. I can't stand just to have church for the sake of having church. Amen. We are not just people that come together and do a deep knee bend to God every week. No. We are the children of God. We are the disciples. We are the sent ones. We have been sent out under his authority. We when you leave this building today, you are not leaving the presence of God. You're not leaving the authority of the church. You're not leaving the covering of the church. You are going out in the name of Jesus into the world with everything he is and all that he has. And we will celebrate next Sunday what God did through you through this week. Hallelujah. We are the body, the living body of Christ. Hallelujah. The living body of Christ. I haven't even got to my message yet. When David overcame, when Goliath fell, he did something. He went up to him. He didn't have a sword, so he took Goliath's sword. Now, can you imagine how big that sword was? And David was a little young man. He wasn't even full grown yet. And he takes that giant sword out. It had to be as big as he was. But he was able to take that big sword out and he took off the head of the threat. In other words, when he did that, all of Israel knew this is not coming back. Amen. He's not going to recover from it. It didn't just knock him out. Amen. Oh, come. Good night. I got to get back up here. We've got to stop hoping just to knock the devil out. We're not just trying to push him back a little bit. 1 John says that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We're not going to try to destroy. We're not being sent out to try to destroy the works of the devil. We're being sent out to demonstrate the victory that has already been won in Jesus Christ. I don't want to give the devil a headache. I want to take his head off. Or somebody posted that on Facebook. Every morning when I get up, every time I read the Bible, it gives the devil a headache. I don't want to give him a headache. He might take some Tylenol. No. When David took that sword and cut Goliath's head off, all the armies of Israel knew it is finished. And suddenly they charged. They come out from behind their rocks. They come out of their hiding places. They come out of their fear and doubt. And suddenly, courage filled their heart, and they started charging into the camp of the Philistines. And all the Philistines, when they saw Goliath go down, they took off running the other direction. Listen, God hasn't called us to try to kill devils. He's called us to demonstrate the fact that they've already been beheaded. First time I went to India, which was several years ago, I'd never been there before. Didn't know anything about it. A man showed up in this church from India. I don't do this all the time. Dr. Benjamin showed up in his church, come walking down the side of the church right there, walked right up to me and said, "Pastor, you need to come this January and do a pastor's conference and a meeting." I said, "I'll be there." Just like that. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't have any money to go. But we went. And we got there and had an amazing time. And when we preached, there was people being saved and born again. And the militant Hindus were trying to get at us. They were trying to kill us. They were threatening us. They were doing all kinds of stuff. One night they come running. They come charging in cars and motorcycles right into the people where everybody was sitting and started running, coming. They jumped off their motorcycles and out of their cars, and they come running toward the platform as fast as they could go. And I didn't even pay attention to them. I just kept preaching. And as charging, you know, they'd already told us they was going to kill us in public. Because if you don't quit preaching that Jesus is the only way of salvation, we're going to kill you in public. And here they come, going to try to kill me in public. What they didn't realize is I wasn't up there by myself. Hallelujah. There was a whole army of God up there with me. I was preaching the gospel. I wasn't there to try to kill devils. I was there to demonstrate the fact that Jesus already cut his head off 2,000 years ago. I just kept preaching. Now in my mind, I'm thinking, boys, the first one of you get here, I'm going to knock you right back off this platform. Amen. I've never had that attitude that I'm just going to be a plaything for the devil. Amen. That might hurt some of y'all. You say, "What about turning the cheek?" I will. I'll turn it both directions. But I was thinking, you jump up on this platform, I'm going to send you sailing right back off of it. Amen. I'm going to make a show of you openly, let you know that you're defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. That was me thinking, and God said, "Oh boy, I got to do something." And so they got right up to the platform. I mean, running from every direction. They got right up to the platform and just stopped. And they started looking at each other and doing this. They couldn't do anything. And I never paid attention to it. I didn't stop and say, "What are you guys doing?" Because they didn't have authority there. Amen. They didn't have authority to come in there and take my attention. And I'm sure not going to give the devil my attention. Amen. I'm going to give Jesus my attention. And we just kept preaching. And they got up there, they was looking at each other and doing this. And finally they just turned around, slumped over, and just went walking back the same way they came. Defeated. Why? Because we're not there to kill devils. We're there to preach the living Christ. And Dr. Benjamin asked me at the end of that meeting. Dr. Benjamin's quite a guy. He abruptly just blurts stuff out. We can just be sitting there not talking, and all of a sudden he'll just blurt something out. It was like, and we're riding back to the place we're staying after a meeting one night, and all of a sudden we're just sitting there quiet, and all of a sudden he says, "You never preach against Islam or Hinduism. Why do you not preach against Hinduism?" Holy Spirit gave me an answer just like that. I said, "Dr. Benjamin, I didn't come over here to kill dead gods. I came over here to preach the living Christ. Amen. And he's already killed them. He's already taken care of them. And he sat there a minute. He said, that's very good. I said, we're not going to come in here and start shadow boxing with the devil and dead gods. Because all these gods are backed up by demons. They're just little demons. But I serve a big God. I serve the Almighty, the Most High. Amen. I'm not going to give my attention to that. I'm going to give my attention to glorify God this morning. I want you to just grab hold of this. And I'm going to close this thing down here in about 5 hours. Whenever, I just want to give you an end game, you know. Whenever Jesus, in Colossians chapter 2, or maybe it's 3, Colossians chapter 2, he said that Jesus triumphed over them in it. He led captivity captive. That's in Ephesians. But then in Colossians, he says that he led a procession. He led a parade, if you will, of the defeated enemy, who is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. He triumphed over them in it and led a procession. He did that when he rose from the dead. He declared, the kingdom of the enemy has been beheaded. We have fought for years against a headless enemy. You understand what I'm talking about? See, the head represents authority, direction. Jesus conquered him. And he told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they're endued with power from on high. And then he told them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. And he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Not just in heaven and in earth. What he was trying to get us to understand is the devil's kingdom is operating without its head, its authority. That's why in the name of Jesus, demons bow. Amen. They bow. They have to obey. I'm impatient with things like that. I tell demons, shut up and come out, and I expect it to happen. Amen. Come on, somebody. We have got to get our hearts established. We've got to get it in our minds that we are a people under covenant. We are a people under authority. We are not going forward in our own authority. We are going forward in the authority of the name of Jesus. Our leader that we work with in Rwanda, he has a very unorthodox way of dealing with witch doctors. When he goes into an area that has a lot of witch doctors in it to hold a crusade, the first night of the crusade, I'm not sure I'm going to do this. I'm going to let him do it, and I'm going to back him up. Come on, somebody. I might, but he's proven he's successful at it, so I'm just going to stand behind him and say, it's what he said. The first night of the crusade, when he goes into an area that is controlled by witch doctors, he gets up and he says, witch doctors, all you witch doctors who are here, you say you can kill me. Come kill me. That's what he says. Come kill me. He invites them. You know why? Because he believes they are defeated before they ever step forward. Amen. I mean, these people have power. They've been known to move. There have been people that have been moved out of the place they were sleeping and put in the tops of trees in the night. You say, how's that happen? If you believe it, it's powerful. But he says, come kill me. And he said one night he got up and said that, and a lady in the back jumped up and started gyrating and started repeating over and over and over, kill him, kill him, kill him. Said her eyes rolled back in her head. And she just started jumping up and down, coming toward him, saying, kill him, kill him. And he said, all of a sudden, right in front of her, appeared this big, huge cobra crawling on the ground right in front of her, coming right at him as she was gyrating and declaring, kill him, kill him. This demon spirit manifested as a cobra right in front of her and was coming. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And she just kept coming. So he said it again, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And she just kept coming, getting closer and closer and closer. And that demon was crawling like a snake right in front of her. And all of a sudden he said, I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. When she got close, and all of a sudden that demon disappeared. She fell to the ground, and God demonstrated the power of Jesus' name right there that night. He didn't have to try to have a breakthrough in that service. Amen. People saw the demonic power destroyed and taken down, and all he had to do then was preach the gospel. Hallelujah. People gave their lives to Jesus. I like hanging with people like that. I'm not always that brave. Sometimes I'm thinking that might not be wisdom. Yes, I have. I've done stuff like that. I'm sorry. I used to be accused of jumping off cliffs and building a parachute on the way to the ground. We have to understand that we are not by ourselves. You are not walking by yourself as a child of God. And whatever you are facing today, whatever giant is in front of you, you need to realize Jesus has already cut the head off that giant. He's holding it up saying, it's not coming back. It's a defeated foe against you. It's not coming back. It is destroyed. The fear that drives you and overcomes you is destroyed in the name of Jesus. The doubt that you battle with is destroyed in the name of Jesus. The insecurities that seem to torment you, the anxieties that seem to torment you are destroyed in the name of Jesus. The sins that you're battling have already been conquered. The lust, the drunkenness, the addiction has already been conquered in Jesus' name. And you just got to simply come and declare that it is finished in your life. Amen. I don't like this thing of, well, you'll have to fight that the rest of your life. I want us to get an attitude that it is finished. It is finished. Amen. It is finished. Brother Dave, we had a lot of alcoholics in our family. When we was growing up, we saw it destroy people over and over and over. Saw it destroy lives. I watched family members die because they drunk themselves to death, or was so drunk they froze to death outside because they passed out in zero weather or freezing weather and they froze to death. They went to prison because they were so drunk they didn't know if they killed the person or not. You understand what I'm talking about? Moonshiners and alcoholics destroying lives. But the God that I serve had already cut the head off of the devil. And somebody came to this region and started preaching the gospel. He didn't even know how to read. What was his name, Mom? Started preaching. He didn't know how to read. Lived down here on 76 Highway in that brush. John Daly. Lived on an old farm on 76 Highway. Back then, nobody wanted any of it. It was just brush and rock. That was before it became popular. It was just brush. You couldn't sell it for a dollar an acre. I mean, there ain't nobody wanted it. You couldn't grow anything on it. It was just cedar glades, rocks, and brush. And it was, as far as most people are concerned, it was worthless. And he lived out there, had an old farm out there, and God got a hold of him. He didn't know how to read. His wife would read the Bible to him, and he would go preach. He would memorize what his wife read, and he'd go preach the gospel in an area that hadn't had the gospel and didn't know what the gospel is. And all of a sudden, a guy that was illiterate, couldn't even read, got up and started preaching the gospel, and people start getting saved. Why? Because the devils that thought they owned this region had already been beheaded, and all God needed was somebody to get up and start telling people. And all of a sudden, salvation started coming. Our grandma got saved. Amen. Asked Brother Daly to come to her house and hold a revival. My moonshiner grandpa. Him and my dad and all the other guys, they left the house. But grandpa hid all of his moonshine in the attic. And they got to singing and carrying on and shouting and stuff, and somebody opened the damper on the stove. It was when it was cold, and somebody opened the damper on the stove, and it started getting hot, and that chimney, that pipe started getting red hot, started going up in that attic and heating everything up, and all of a sudden moonshine started exploding in the attic. And there my grandpa stood outside looking in the window, watching all his moonshine run down through the ceiling. There's more than one way to set them free. My dad was following the same path, drunk. Matter of fact, the night him and my mom met, he was drunk, standing outside. He had just come back from Colorado working the oil field. And he showed up at the church because his best friend, he was looking for his best friend to go out drinking with him. And they told him he's at the church service. And he went to the church service and he was looking in the window trying to find his friend, trying to get his attention to get him to come out. And instead he got the attention of this little black-headed girl to start flirting with him through the window. Oh, I'm telling on her now. She's getting in trouble because she was flirting with this guy that was outside and he was drunk. And they ended up getting married. Moved to California. Dad still wasn't right with God. Moved to California, and all of a sudden a tent meeting come to town. And my mom's parents lived out there and started telling them, you got to come, you got to come. They finally showed up. I actually have a picture of my mom and dad sitting on the front row of that tent meeting, in the meeting they got saved in, my dad got saved in. I was watching an old video of A. Allen, and it panned across the front row, and I said, whoa, and I backed it up, and there they sit right there. And he answered the altar call that night. And he didn't battle with alcoholism anymore. He was set free. He was set free from tobacco, from alcohol, from all the other stuff. He was delivered and set free and filled with the power of God and sold everything he had and took off and worked for that evangelist for 6 years. Traveling on the road with a family. I told you all that to tell you this, so you could get this picture in your mind, that the devils that we seem to be fighting against, Jesus has already decapitated them, taken their authority away from them, and we just got to simply get the truth and know it's happened. Hallelujah. When we submit ourselves. Now, if you're going to have an arrogant attitude, I get so upset with people anymore. I know that's, you don't, I mean, my kind and gentle nature defies that. I'll be trying to help somebody that's bound. I mean, bound. Lost everything they had. Everything's gone, and they bound by addiction, loose, have lost everything. They have nothing at all. And you try to help them, and they come back at you with an arrogant attitude. Sometimes I'm able to be nice in that situation, but most of the time I'll say, what in the world do you have to be arrogant about? You have lost everything. You have nothing left. You are being destroyed. And you come at me with an arrogant attitude like you got some kind of power? See, Jesus can deliver those that will humble themselves, but those that still think they got it going on. Oh, come on, somebody. Those that somehow think they're still in charge when they're bound by drugs, controlled by a little pill, controlled by a bottle of alcohol, and still got an arrogant attitude. They haven't been broken yet. But if we'll humble ourselves and come before a living God and say, God, I have nothing. I am nothing. I have destroyed my life through stupid decisions. And I have let a decapitated devil rule me. God, I humble myself before you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You need to get off your high horse. I pray God takes you off your high horse. You know what a high horse is? It's what Saul was riding when he went down the road of Damascus, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared to him, knocked him off his horse, rubbed his face in the dirt, and said, now what do you see? You know, I prayed a prayer this morning while we're there in worship that I don't apologize for. I said, God, wrestle them to the ground. Wrestle them to the ground today. Amen. Praise God. Some of y'all pray for your kids to get saved, and then you baby them. Oh, come on, somebody. Ooh, that. We just had some child worship raise its ugly head right there. You don't mess with little Bubby. No. Little Bubby needs to be broken. Come on, somebody. Amen. I had a lady come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm wanting God to do whatever it takes for my son to be saved. I laid my hand on her. I said, hurt him, God. That fast, she said, no. I said, I thought you said whatever it takes. Are you willing to let God humble your children? Are you willing to let God humble the situation without you jumping in and taking a slack up all the time? Man, I am preaching hard today, ain't I? Are you willing to let God take them down to the point that they finally say yes? Amen. We got to make up our mind. Stand with me. I'm just going to keep preaching if you don't stand up. Come on. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. We gotta decide whether we're gonna play this game or whether we're gonna declare it over. Game over. Hallelujah. Game over. I've never played a lot of games. I don't like games. But I've seen people play these games and it says game over right at the end. And that's what I want to declare. Amen. Game over. Hallelujah. I don't play games because I think it's over with before I ever start. I don't want to waste my time trying to prove that. Are you going to quit playing today? Somebody in this place needs to quit playing games. You need to declare game over. You keep trying to barter with God. You keep trying to figure out a way to do this without submitting your life to God. I submitted my life to God when I was a teenager, and I have never regretted a minute. It saved me from being an alcoholic. It saved me from being a drug addict. It saved me from being divorced and my children coming from a split home. It saved me from heartache. I didn't lose a thing. I gained everything. Amen. I gave my life to Jesus at 17 years old, committed my life, got married at 18 and started preaching at 19, and I did not miss anything. The only thing I missed was a whole lot of problems, a whole lot of heartache. Hallelujah. I've been fighting over somebody today trying to wrestle you out of the kingdom of darkness. And I want to know if you're going to help me. Are you going to help me? You're going to get up and get out of there? You're going to call it game over? You're going to declare it is finished, it's over with, it's done? Quit playing with God. Quit playing with God. Some of you came here, it might be the first time you ever been at this church. You thought you was coming to visit. God's got your number and he's saying, quit playing with God. Quit playing. It's time to get serious. Right now. We're gonna pray. But before I do, I want you to square your shoulders. There's some people in this house that need to square your shoulders and step out of that pew and say, this is it. It's game over. I'm committed my life to Jesus today. Right now, I'm not going to play games with God anymore. The devil's already decapitated and destroyed the things you've been playing with and fighting with. You need to step forward and declare, Jesus is Lord of my life. He is the victor of my life. Come on. One. Give me a chance. When I say three, I want you to step out of that seat and get down to this altar. God's giving you a chance. Two. It's right now. Today. Today is the day of salvation. You've been called to this day right now. God's dealing with you. He's already called you. Now, are you ready? Come on, somebody. Get out of your seat now. It's three. Get up here right now. Get out of your seat and say, this is it. Game over. I'm done with it. Come on. You're hesitating. You're hesitating. Are you going to make that decision? Are you going to make that decision? Is it game over today? Is this it? You'll never regret it. Hallelujah. Come on. Some of you young people, you need to follow my example. You need to quit playing with the world and get out of your seat and say, this is it. I have never regretted a day of serving Jesus. Never. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you to break the power of the enemy in people's lives right now. Every chain broken. Every authority broken. Every demonic power broken. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we command it to go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We're not going to play anymore. We're not going to play anymore. Well, there's some young people in this house that have been coming to church for a while. But you're still playing. You're still playing. You're not serious with God. I want you to know something. The devil's serious about destroying you. He is serious about destroying you. God's serious about saving you. You say, but it's hard to live for God. Sometimes it can be, but you need to pick your heart. Because the way of a transgressor is hard. Destruction's hard. Resisting a few sins might seem hard, but it's a whole lot easier than destruction. We work with people every week that are trying to dig themselves out of the pit that they found themselves in. That's hard. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to wait a few more minutes because I feel like somebody isn't a valid decision today.